has been a high school history teacher for many years. Charlotte has seen Westboro change from a quiet town where most of the people lived and worked in town to the hub of New England with many high-tech industries bringing in traffic and more residential development than ever before. Her memories of Westboro, however, are a place where people knew each other well. Everyone knew each other by their first names. They didn't have to lock their doors. The main employers would be Bay State and Tufts Machinery, the hat shop, perhaps, the underwear factory, Marcus Mason. Actually, most of the activity in town centered downtown. This, then, is Charlotte Spinney's impressions. Her father was a part-time fire chief in town, and therefore she was very much aware of what was going on, not only in crisis situations, but on day-to-day basis of Westboro. Charlotte lived as a child on Cedar Street and continues to live there, and her memories are of downtown Westboro as compared to the farming community, which was going full strength in the 40s and 50s and right up to the 60s. This then is Charlotte Spinney and what she remembers Westboro as a child.
And McGuffick's never went anywhere after Sylvia died.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We used to do...
How would you characterize the town?
In the 40s and 50s, I think the town was a solid middle-class community without real extremes of wealth. That it was a working-class community, but a working-class who, a group of people who supported education, gave their children as many opportunities as they could in terms of going to Girl Scouts or dancing school or whatever. And where everyone was appeared, at least from my perspective, welcomed in everyone's home, and there was no pretensions or desirable West End kind of attitude.
There was no social stratification then.
It wasn't apparent to me as a young person. Now, there very well could have been, but in the schools, we all seem to dress pretty much the same. We all seem to be doing the same things. We all went to each other's houses. And I didn't ever feel, I mean, I knew there were kids that I hung out with who had a little more money than I had, or their fathers had perhaps a little better jobs, more prestigious jobs. But I never felt any feeling of not belonging or a social class of being looked down on. And I don't remember any of that. That's not to say it didn't exist, but I don't remember it. I remember us all together in Girl Scouts. I remember us in Rainbow. I remember us in the church youth groups. I remember us going out Halloween nights. I just remember that because the town was so small and the school was so small, you knew everybody. And you just...
People worked a lot in Westboro.
Yes, primarily. I'll say of the six girls that I hung around with, only one worked out of town, and that was in Worcester, and that was an insurance company. So that was Priscilla's father.
And people came home for lunch, did they?
Uh-huh. We came home for lunch. We had an hour. And we had, in my house, we had dinner, because my father was a working man, came off a farm, wanted a big meal. So we went home, and we had meat and potatoes and vegetables and all the rest.
And did a lot of the fathers go home?
Yes.
They'd been working in the factory.
Yes.
And they went home.
Yes. Everybody, the only kids who stayed at school for lunch were kids who came on the bus. Mm-hmm. And if by any chance your mother wanted you to stay in school for lunch, you had to send a note.
When did that stop?
I would say that began to close by the end of the 50s and the 60s as more houses were built, and the school curriculum changed, and they kept cutting back on hours because the requirements came in that you had to spend so many minutes minutes for lunch instead of 60. That's a culture shock.
That really is. Whoa. And that kind of changed right. The face of American life, right. Too.
And also, it's been our school committee's policy for at least 16 years, 17 years, that no one leaves for lunch. Regardless, if you live next door, you stay in school.
And since you have been in the school systems for a long time, how do you see it changing? Or what kinds of changes, when did you see it happen?
The 60s, absolutely, during the 60s. Westboro just sort of blew apart. We just grew so fast that you hardly knew that it was happening.
In what ways, Charlotte?
In terms of housing development and influx of people.
Do you know what developments went in? Or?
Oh, they just went everywhere. A lot of the farmland got sold. A lot of developments were made. It just kept going further and further out. Ruggles Street, for example. The whole Metagut area.
West Main Street.
They just all came about. And as
East Main, out by across from Newman's.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. It all just began to grow, and everywhere you looked, houses were going up. And you see, it was at a perfect spot. It's at 495 Mass Pike, Group 9, Route 20, 290. And you can be anywhere within an hour. Mm-hmm. Westboro always had a reputation for good education. Always.
Good.
Always had it from the very beginning. It was a nice community to live in. People here were nice. Had a low tax rate.
It seems to me that the housing boom must have come in the 60s,
you said,
and then the industrial boom in the 70s and 80s.
Right.
It's continuing now.
Yes.
So the people can
first
settling
first. Right. And with the housing boom, the social character of the community changed insofar as, rather than being a solid working class, middle class community, it is now, I think, primarily an upper middle class community. Essentially. I think it's very difficult for the so-called working man today to buy a house in Westboro. Whereas in 1940, the people of my father's economic background could find a house and buy it and support it. I think that's very difficult today unless they're...
It's difficult almost anywhere except for the small towns that are way out.
Right.
You're right. Westboro has changed.
It's changed in that respect.
And perhaps more as more industry comes in, different professionals, engineers, high-tech people.
Right. I think it's primarily management. It's a management, white-collar, professional management community.
Probably brought in from what?
I think the insurance companies brought them in. I think the electronics industry brought them in, and certainly the computer industry.
Data General, Digital, Mass Electric,
Smith Valve, Astra, not just Westboro, but the surrounding area. We have a lot of kids whose fathers travel into Boston every day or, quite far, as a matter of fact.
So now it's rare to have people work in Westboro.
Mm. I think so. I think it's probably less apt to happen.
So Baystate still employs quite a few people.
But they're not the main employer. New England Power is. Oh, I can't tell you now. New England Power became the main employer many years ago, and I don't know what Digital and all the rest of these now do in terms of numbers, but I think probably New England Power probably is still the main employer in the community.
Mass Electric New England Power,
yeah, right.
909, which was built...
In the late 60s, I would say.
And then the factories, that once they burned down, they really did not start up again.
No, because the day had passed, really. They weren't providing things that were unique and different, and probably what they were providing were coming from Oriental countries, much cheaper, Taiwan or Korea or someplace like that. Much cheaper, so they weren't in the market anyway.
Mm-hmm. You mean they couldn't face the competition?
Probably,
that was coming up.
Probably to start all over again, you see.
So it was shoes and hats and really.
economy. The economy of America had changed.
Right,
then.
Exactly.
So that now Westboro downtown has been spread out totally.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You see, what's happened is with the automobile, I can remember my mother, there was one car in our family always, okay, and my father had it. My mother would walk uptown probably two or three times a week to do her shopping. And the great adventure would be to get in the car and go to Worcester shopping, or on the bus and go to Worcester shopping. But you walked uptown, you did your shopping. Well, now, with the advent of so many automobiles, the plazas, you get in the car and you ride up to Bradley's, or you go out to Caldor's, or you go into Worcester Center, or you go down to Jordan Marsh. And so the character of downtown Westboro has changed a lot, I think.
And, yeah, it's not.
And we don't depend on it totally for our needs. Whereas in the 40s, just about everything, you went to the bakery in the downtown, you went into the shoe shop, Wagner's. You went and had your shoes repaired. You went and had your hair cut. You went and got your big order once a week at First National, and your husband would stop by. They'd put your name on the bag and put it in the window, and your husband would stop by after work and pick it up, unless you happened to have a baby carriage, or in our case, my brother had a wagon, and sometimes we'd take the wagon uptown and bring it home.
Yeah, things were melting.
Well, you'd take those out and bring them home, but your regular order, you'd leave in the window, and he'd come by and pick it up on his way home after work or whatever. Or you'd do it on a Saturday. You'd go on a Saturday when the car was home. I also remember...
Mothers didn't work that much.
Mothers didn't work at all. My father, every Saturday, walked around the town of Westboro paying his bills. It wasn't until his later years that he ever had a checking account. He walked uptown because it was a social thing, you see. You walked into Blois's and you paid your phone bill in Blois's, and you had a little chat with Grandpa Blois. And then you walked down the street to the electric company, and you paid your electric bill, and you had a little chat with Mr. Carney in there.
Where was the electric company?
Where the spectacle shop is now. Mm-hmm. And you went to Wagner's, and you picked up your Saturday order of bread, and of course you knew the Wagner boys, so you stopped, and you had a little chat in there.
They had but baked beans on Saturday.
Yeah, you walked around Saturday, and you paid cash, and you paid your bills, and you had your little social outing. You were in touch with the community, and everybody saw each other, and that's the way it was done. Saturday was the day of
touching base. Do you remember any town celebration, Charlotte? Fourth of July, did they do much anymore? Lyman School, what do you remember about people working at the state hospital? When was the state hospital big for employing people?
Oh, it was during this period.
In the 40s, yeah.
And so was Lyman School. Both were two big operations. We had boys from time to time come to Westboro High School, out of Lyman School. They didn't generally last very long. And one of the mothers of one of my classmates worked there as a nurse. She was a nurse. So we knew a little bit more about Lyman School.
Did people volunteer much at Lyman School?
No, that was all.
Either worked there or whatever. Did they volunteer at the state hospital much? But I know the state hospital employed a lot of people as nurses.
In those days, you see, women spent the whole day being mothers and doing the jobs. And I don't remember. Oh, they did Girl Scouts and things like that, but I don't remember that mothers did volunteer work very much.
Hmm.
They were being mothers and wives.
So, about the dairies and the farms, do you remember, did you go out to the farms much?
Yes, we used to, my father picked apples. His father in Nova Scotia owned an apple orchard, so my father knew how to pick apples, and every fall, he went out to Mataggetts, or he went up to...
That's on West Main Street.
Yes, or he came up here on Spring Road to, it was Kimmelman's farm, and he picked apples to and he used that money to pay his taxes. So, and they always were glad to have him because he knew how to do it. He didn't have to be taught, and he was very good at it. So when we got older, we'd go with him to have a little mad money, and we'd pick. I never was terribly good at it. I'd make a little bit of money, mm-hmm. and I'd be satisfied. But the apple orchards were big, but there were a lot of farms in Westboro mm-hmm. in the 40s and 50s.
It seems like the orchards were on one on Moore Street on the
mm-hmm.
top.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you remember that one, but and then there were several on Spring Road and
yeah.
Apple Mary, Lamb.
Yeah, Apple Mary, right.
And then out.
And Metagus, of course, was a big operation.
And then Gilmore.
Gilmore's.
On Adams.
Right. Now Quicks. Yeah.
And now we have three, basically. Parker's,
Arnold's,
and Quicks. And they're having trouble finding labor.
Yes, they've had trouble for many years finding labor. As a matter of fact, my uncle from Nova Scotia used to come up to Harvard, Mass. They used to import the Nova Scotians because the local people wouldn't do it at all. And the last several years, they've turned to Jamaicans, and I guess they have not had an awful lot of luck with them. Mm-hmm. But
in the old days,
I was in school, the high school would close down during the war years. The high school kids would go out and pick apples during the apple season, because there were no men to pick the apples, and they closed the schools down to do it. That didn't last very long.
Right,
I just remember it.
There's a shortage of manpower or labor.
Yeah, and I think maybe at Christmas they had to make the time. I don't recall exactly what happened, but it seems to me they had to make that week up or 2 weeks
mm-hmm.
up or whatever.
But now, talking to some of the orchard people now, because of the child labor laws and insurance and everything else, kids can't climb.
Right.
There are lots of red tape that ties their hands as far as hiring kids.
Oh, yes, I'm sure.
And the kids aren't that interested in doing it.
No, they're not interested at all.
Good, healthy work.
Yeah, no, kids aren't interested at all.
Now, there were some chicken farms, turkey farms.
Turkey farms. The Caprillians owned a big turkey farm out on Route 9.
Now, do people go there to get turkeys at Thanksgiving and Christmas, or do they supply?
I think they wholesaled. I don't think they retailed. I think they did wholesale work. Now, people may have gone there at that time,
mm-hmm.
but they were primarily wholesalers, I believe.
Do you remember when the post office moved to Summer Street one time?
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what year that was or when? It was down on at Hickok's.
It was in the 50s. Late, it was in
56 was one, or 53, I don't know which one it was, but it might have been.
Well, it was in the 50s sometime.
50s,
yeah.
Right.
I can't tell you exactly when, but it was in the middle 50s anyway.
Now, as far as the bus, where did the bus go?
The bus left from in front of what is now Page Jewelers, and it went up through North Grafton, down.
30?
Down by, then onto 122 by Wyman Gordon, Grafton Street, into what is now the Worcester Galleria.
Right.
And it went every hour.
Every hour?
Every hour.
Now, that was going west. Was there anything going east?
Oh, yes, and that left every hour.
And where did that end up? Eventually Boston, or?
No. This was strictly Westboro to Worcester.
Westboro to Worcester only.
Right, and then
Worcester
back. And the man would turn right around and come back.
What was the bus line? Carlson? No.
Do you know Mr. Hatch?
I don't, but he was the one to know.
He was a bus driver for it.
No, I know, the B&W, I guess, on Route 9 went to Boston. Mm-hmm.
I can see it because I traveled every day for 4 years practically to school.
As far as trains, were trains going at all?
By the time I guess in the 40s, trains were still going into Boston pretty regularly. But by the 50s, I think they had pretty much. They were.
After World War II, you think that?
I think so. I don't remember that they were.
People, and I have no idea when the trolley cars stopped. But I think
it's before.
20s, maybe. they were pretty busy, but I think their slack was taken up by the buses.
Mm. Yeah.
And then eventually the cars.
Yeah.
Hurricane Carol, I think, was 1954, because I looked it up.
Yeah.
And what do you remember?
I remember that they had to come up here and sandbag the reservoir. There was real concern about the reservoir overflowing, and my brother Jim was one of them that came to work at it. He was probably 13 or 14 at the time.
Mm-hmm. And then downtown, were there some flooding?
There was a lot of flooding of cellars, and there was a lot of road washouts, as I recall. And also, I think there were a lot of trees went down and damage of that sort.
This was Hurricane Carol. I think it was the end of August, at least.
Well,
beginning of September.
August or September. I was going off to college. I remember starting college, and it was about the time I was going to start college. So I'd say probably the end of August.
Mm-hmm.
So now, you know, I remember that.
And that was right a year after the tornado. So West broke up.
Yeah, we did, yeah.
By nature, that.
Yes,
time.
Nature. Kind of had a field day with us, I think. But other than that, I don't remember any major...
There was the town's birthday, 1967, when they had bell groups and all that, and a year's worth of celebration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a really nice time, I think. I didn't really actively participate in it, except that the high school had a dance for the high school students as part of it, and I was in charge of that.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of the town itself, I wasn't part of the group. But everybody had a nice time. It was a nice year of lots of fun activities that went on. And it was a very nice, fun year. A lot of people worked very hard for it. Nice parade, and then a nice dance.
And there was some play.
Play.
Put on.
The Crucible was put on. And they were all big firemen's muster and a drill bugle corps competition, I think. All kinds of things went on all year long. The committee did a really fine job of putting that on. In the old days, I can remember minstrel shows in the town hall. The town hall, a lot of things that went on in the town hall. The Players Club put on their plays there.
This is up in the auditorium.
Yes, up in the auditorium. I can remember minstrel shows and...
minstrel shows meaning... just variety shows or
no, the real long minstrel show.
Blackface
well,
minstrel?
It was local people who did it. Real blackface minstrel shows. Talent show kinds of things. There were a lot of community productions that I can remember going to. Singing and dancing and variety kinds of shows. I don't know who put them on. I don't remember who put them on, but there were I can remember going to a lot of different things in the town hall for that kind of thing.
A long time ago, there were movies there, but that was way
yeah.
Back.
I never
that,
saw
then
movies.
Then the Strand
there.
Came in.
Yes.
And I don't know. Well, this one was put, I think, in 1929. But the one before that, the wooden structure at the library and everything
yeah,
else.
Yeah. I don't remember that. But I can remember going to different kinds of shows at the town hall. There
was a town meeting held there.
Town meeting was there.
Told a funny thing about the farmers and people coming to town and for town meeting day, and a lot of them would spend all day and have a supper and then town meeting, and a lot of them went to the saloons, local saloons.
Probably,
and by the time they got
yeah.
to town meeting, they didn't care what they were voting, and that's why they passed a law that liquor stores and bars would be closed
yes,
on town meeting
right,
day,
yeah.
which I thought would have been very interesting minutes.
Used
town
to do
meeting.
The same thing for voting day too. I can remember. I suppose my interest in local affairs came because my father was involved in local affairs. But I can remember as a child going and sitting. You used to sit in the balcony
was
if you were
fire
non-voter.
Chief?
He was a yes. He was fire. He was Westboro's last part-time fire chief, really.
Just before Rocco Pellini came in.
Yeah. And I can remember going and sitting in the balcony and watching this happen.
This is town meeting.
Town meeting. And learning very early the people to watch for, because even then there were local characters who had to give you the benefit of their advice before you could vote on anything, you know.
Yes.
And that you would look to see where those people were sitting because you knew that they would get up. And, of course, I didn't understand anything they were talking about, but already I sort of was getting the feel for the flow of what was happening. And I found it fascinating, even as a young child, to watch this kind of thing going on.
And you're still doing that.
I'm still sitting in the back,
checking everybody
watching people get up, knowing that so-and-so is going to get up next and tell us that we should or shouldn't vote for this. I find it very interesting to see.
Do you think that has changed a lot? Their
town meeting?
They're always saying less and less people are coming out, but it seems probably about the same.
No, number. I think there's a hardcore of town meeting attendees, if you will, who come regularly. Then there's another group who come the first day. That's an awful lot of that are town employees, teachers included, because that's when the budget goes through. Then there are others who don't ever come the first day, but by the second night, they're starting to come. And then there are those who come only for special interests. So the complexion of the meeting changes night by night by night.
You're never quite
it's
sure.
Never the same. I mean, you have your hardcore of people there, but each night the complexion changes according to sometimes what's on the warrant and sometimes just the nature of the people who happen to come out that night.
Would you like to see the town government changed?
Representative
town government?
No, not yet. I still feel I want to put my hand up and say yes or no. I'm not ready to give that to somebody else. I think we're still small enough that we can, and that government and the issues are still basic enough that if we take any interest at all, we can get some understanding of what's happening and we can make an intelligent decision. I think to be a good citizen, you have to put up with a week of some boring, frustrating, angry but interesting times, and that's what it takes. I mean, you have to go in there and understand that some of it is going to be absolutely so frustrating and absolutely so boring. But by the same token, that's what democracy is, and that's what town meeting is. Everyone gets a chance to have a say, and everyone at the end gets a chance to say yes or no.
Mm-hmm.
And that to me is what is really exciting about town meeting, that the people really do have an opportunity.
Great.
So
then, if it can continue, perhaps that hardcore, however, might become the town meeting representatives.
Mm.
They'd be the ones to run. Although,
well, that doesn't mean that they're any more intelligent than anyone else. It's just that they go there all the time. They find it interesting. Number one, or they're protecting their own interests. Number two, or they have nothing else to do. Number three, but there are people who are fairly regular town meeting people who attend that you see there just about every single session. And there are people who try to become knowledgeable on every single issue.
How has
now
the town government changed? I know that we went to a town coordinator back in the 60s, was it?
Yes, I would say probably in the 60s. I can't really tell you when the coordinator came, but probably in the late 60s the coordinator came. Well, I think it's changed in terms of the Charter Commission, which sort of changed the who got elected and who came under the town coordinator, and who remained independent of the town. For example, the school committee is independent. The library trustees are independent. I don't know who all else, but anyway.
Who got appointed by
who?
Who
got appointed, who got elected, and that whole thing.
Do you know when that was happening?
That was in the 60s, yeah. The first charter went down to defeat. And I think it went down to defeat because there were two reasons. I can't remember what one of them is. I mean, I felt there were two reasons why it went down to defeat. And one of them was that it proposed representative town government. And I voted against it for that reason.
Mm-hmm.
There were two reasons that I voted against it, and I don't remember the other one offhand. But I felt that we still were small enough we could manage our own affairs.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not too thrilled with what I see happening in other communities for this representative town government. So I'd like to feel that. So the second charter went through because they eliminated that, and I think they eliminated one other thing that people found.
And slowly the complexion of how the town was organized changed, but basically the stream of how it's governed has stayed the
same. We still depend a great deal on part-time people, selectmen, school committee, library trustees, volunteer fire department.
These are non-paid, basically.
Basically, they're non-paying jobs. And we still depend a great deal on people out of the goodness of their hearts or their sense of duty to come forth and take these positions and all the grief that goes with it and run the town. Mm. And they do it. That's what I think is great. I mean, I'm not too thrilled with the fact that we don't have any people running for school committee, and we haven't had for a long time. I'm very distressed over that because I think it's such an important job, and that we really should have more people concerned about the quality of education and what's happening in the schools. But the other jobs seem to attract people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can understand why people don't want to go to school committee because it's such a frustrating, aggravating job, but it's an important one.
They may fear a lot of the negotiation, too, or the red tape involved, or who knows.
I don't know why, but anyway.
Because I do have a feeling that people care about the quality of education in Westboro, but whether they actually want to spend the time and take